The days are filled with anxiety for all of us staying at home without any infection. But can we imagine the mindset of people who are spending their time in quarantine in their homes or state-run facilities, either because of their travel history or because they were in contact with someone who was COVID positive? I'm Dr. Aishwarya Rao, a pediatrician and public health consultant, and today I'm going to talk to my colleague Magdalene Jayaratnam, who is the founder director, East West Center for Counseling and Training, and for the Indian Institute of Psychodrama, where she uses expressive arts and therapy for dealing with emotional and psychological well-being.
Hi, Magdalene. Thank you for agreeing to talk to me today for my podcast. So I was just telling our viewers today that you and I go a long way back in our work together in fighting another virus, that is the HIV virus. So I was thinking I can pick on your expertise today to see if there are some lessons in that and which we can use for our present effort to contain this COVID infection. So today I just wanted to talk to you and discuss with you one thing about is stigma and discrimination that people in quarantine are facing. So what do you think are the emotional impact of those in quarantine due to stigma from neighbors?
Yeah. What are the things that we immediately relate to when I'm ostracized for whatever reason? I mean, it can be with the best of interest, but the moment you say you cannot be with the rest of us, you have to be separate.
Yeah.
I think sets us off on a journey of shame. Maybe that I've done something wrong. I shouldn't have done this or I shouldn't have done that. I think on an emotional level, shame, guilt, these are the places it sends us to. So while the rest of the world we need to protect, I think the way we deal with people who may have it, not even that they have it.
I know, they're just only in quarantine. Yeah.
Exactly. It's like as if they've already, we have given them a sentence before even finding out.
I know.
No trial, but sentence is given. You understand, this is the way we are jumping to many things in life in this part of the world.
Yeah.
I think it's very important for us because that person could be me.
Yes.
This virus is not going to look for, whether this family I should go to or that family I should go to. It's not that. And the rest of us need to not put them in that place of shame as well.
Yeah.
You know, that's very important because if a person feels ashamed, they don't want to share any more information. They're closed.
Yes, yes. They're not going to come forward. Other people on the street are not going to come forward for testing anymore.
Because they think this person is punished. No, we go a long way back when you say, okay, you get out of the class to a child. It's the same, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay, I'm in a place, I'm going to be punished. This is a punishment for something I have done. So now when a person comes like that, coming from a place, Italy or Spain, and then they feel that they are perhaps carrying it, for them to feel shame and they are not going to be forthcoming with any information relating to themselves further.
Yes.
The different people they have gone to, different places they have gone to, who else could have been infected.
Yes.
Now they're going to be very ashamed of this.
Right.
No? Not only that person. So now this person is feeling this sense of shame and is not going to be forthcoming or not going to be giving all the information they need to give. What about those of us who are looking at it? So when there is, say, a sticker on your wall that this person in this building, we are quarantining these people.
Yeah.
What happens is, for me, if I'm looking at it, it's like, oh my God. If I say that I know this person and yesterday I met for tea and I went for lunch with this person, they will do the same in my house, no? So I don't want to tell any information about me.
Yeah, so these triggers are actually a little bit counterproductive because you don't want to be in that position anymore.
Yes, while we understand, because it's not I'm not coming from a place of not understanding that people can get it. It's very easy for the transmission to take place. We are seeing this in all countries as well as in our own country.
Yeah.
It's very easy for the transmission to actually take place, for a person who is infected to give it to other people. You know, it's very easy. We know this. But at the same time, I think protecting and safeguarding information connecting to people who may have it, I think will help us in the long way of enabling other people to come forward.
I think Yeah, that's a very important point about not stigmatizing by putting these big labels. We heard they're putting stamps on the individual person, no? On marking them. What do you think will be the emotional state of someone who's marked that you are in quarantine? So what
it
do you have?
It goes back to the same thing of branding, no, Aishwarya. Like the place where, you know, many years before, how, you know, branding was done on slaves, branding was done on people who you own, branding is done on animals. You've objectified a person. And I think that's not helpful at all. We need, and I think for those of us who are getting information, like the other day I saw a WhatsApp message, a photograph. The photograph is from one of the corporation officials, you know, book, where they have written the name of the person who is quarantined, their phone number, the age of the person, and in which area. It is written on that, and pages of this is being circulated by people.
This
and
is like absolutely a breach of patient privilege and confidence.
We should
not
do this. I think we should be responsible enough. So when we see a message like this, to first of all tell the person who sent it, you know what, you're sending personal information of somebody. It's without their consent, you know, you're giving information about the child, the age of the child, where the child is, the phone number that this child's father or mother has. You're giving information about another adult who has no idea that their information is being circulated on a WhatsApp medium.
Yes, that is, I think it's not a best
really
practice. Yeah, but official information shared by the government on their Twitter handles and their press releases have always maintained they've not divulged information. That they've only said age, you know, like 46-year-old male or something like that. But I think somewhere this leak has happened from what you are telling. So that is quite scary.
Even if, see, a government thing sending the information is saying that you and I have done this sort of reporting. Kadalur district, in this particular area, this many people came for testing, this many people got infected.
This is the demography of the persons tested.
They are given this information is different from saying, Mr. So-and-so is 49 years old.
He lives in Porsuakam and
in Porsuakam. Imagine this. This is the kind of information I'm saying. I think it's very important that we be a little more sensitive. Because people, if we want more and more people to self-quarantine, we treat them well and we respect them for doing that. Rather than stigmatize and discriminate them. I think people will take pride in saying, listen, I came from this place. I just traveled. I have a recent history of travel. I may be at a risk. I'm going to self-isolate. I'm going to self-quarantine. So people will come forward. They feel proud about what they're doing because they're doing something in a very responsible manner.
I think that will only foster this culture of self-disclosure. No, not make someone punish them for disclosing their travel. Or their, you know, contact history, but to make it a very enabling thing. So, yeah, that's an important point. I think I hope the health officials are listening. Communication. So far, government and public interested persons like film stars, celebrities coming and telling us what we should do. Wash your hands. Make this, you know, physical distance from anybody, you know, how you will handle objects, etc. But something on stigma and discrimination is yet not communicated, and that information needs to be out there because...
Yeah, I'll tell you, when we started with the HIV program, TB also, if you go back
much more... Yes, the big stigmatizing disease.
I remember as a child watching Doordarshan and the messages at the end of the spectrum, on the TV those days, no? The skeleton. They have
scary images. Yes.
And we found out over a period of time, when you make something fearful and you create anxiety and fear among the public, the message doesn't reach.
Yes.
You have to give factual information.
Yes.
And we have make it not as if it is a monster, but bring it in a very different manner. That this is the situation here. So instead of frightening most of the public by saying, you can get it.
Mm.
Yes, we can get it. But also to bring the fact that out of this many people, only this many people got infected.
Or
only this many people died. But also to bring it to focus.
That anyone can get infected. It could be you. So that sort of a thing. Yeah, no, not to other person.
Somebody was talking about in South Korea, this one woman, young woman,
yes,
who got infected.
The patient 31.
And they traced back, they found out that she was responsible for 60%
yes,
of
yes,
infection.
Yes, yes, the infamous, yeah.
5,000 people must have infected through her.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was directly connected to her. This is our social responsibility, civic responsibility.
Right.
That we don't infect other people, so we self-quarantine. So giving pride to people that when you do this for yourself, you're really safeguarding.
Interesting, no? Make it proud, like a matter of pride that you have volunteered your history, that you have volunteered to go into quarantine. That will work.
Yes.
It will be so.
That will work. Imagine news reports read like this, Aish. They're saying that in Mylapore area, 50 people have come forward to say that they may be at a risk and they're going on self-quarantine and these people need to be congratulated.
Yes, that's
can
what
you
I
imagine?
Thought. Yes, that
how
messaging will be
change?
Like a different, you know, spin on the narrative itself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when we do that, I think it makes everybody take action. It, you know, I think that the thing about clapping, what I thought was the reason why many people sort of took it on, whether they fully understood or not, whether they took, why they took it on was because it was a positive thing.
Very positive activity for everyone.
Take a positive action, which generated so much of energy.
Yes.
So this is what we need to do.
I think, yeah, we need to look at quarantine. Also, then only the stigma will go and then only we'll identify more people. I mean, it's in all our interest to take the stigma out. Now, I heard, I mean, there was another story on Facebook that was shared and I don't know if you heard about it, about a young nurse from Northeast. So she looks like someone who's from like a Chinese person. She had been on duty for 14 hours. With a COVID positive patient, she just stepped outside. I mean, she was in this full, you know, armor and all. She hadn't eaten anything. So she stepped outside to get something to eat at a local shop after 14-hour duty. I mean, and a kid who was also there at the shop looked at her and looked at her face and said, coronavirus. And he pointed a finger at her and he ran away screaming. I mean, she wrote about it on Facebook herself and shared multiple times. But she didn't blame the child. She understood where the child came from. But what is this culture of kids being taught to point fingers at someone? And what is this? Is this a very Indian thing? What's going wrong here?
So for him, he's projecting that fear and anxiety on somebody else. This is the reason why I'm saying campaigns. What we do cannot be campaigns that you frighten people with.
Yes.
We have to have campaigns that are factual and the person is already making, creating images and is creating some monsters in their own head.
Yes.
Particularly our children. And each one's monster will be very different.
Yeah.
You know?
Depending on their imagination.
Immediately, we have given some, there are actually a lot of materials that have come actually from Italy, Spain and all on how to explain about the virus to children.
Right. Even Indian Ministry of Health, Family Welfare, they have a little booklet on talking to children about the coronavirus outbreak.
Actually, we don't even need to say corona, no?
Mm-hmm.
It's any virus for that matter.
Any virus.
It's general hygiene we are talking about.
Mm.
When you feel like coughing or sneezing, what do we do? How do we protect ourselves? So I think giving some basic information like this, frightening people, will go a long way.
And that's what, like we talked before, factual information and given with great transparency with and good communication will address all these problems. No, it will take away when we don't. That's what we call it, magical thinking, don't we? When there is absence of information, then we imagine the worst for it.
Yeah. Which is what happens. I mean, human brain likes to fill in the gaps. So if you're giving some information, but you've not given all the information, automatically your brain will fill in the gaps with something.
Yeah.
So moving on, I just want to talk about, we've talked a lot about stigma, but about there's enough evidence to link stigma with poverty and in other countries with race. And we also saw how people from Northeast are unfortunately identified with Chinese and therefore stigmatized. And also caste. We saw stories of about how migrant workers, because they're moving, they're in search of livelihood, but they're also moving, how they can be targets. So when migrant workers are returning back home or anything, so they are seen as people bringing this disease into their areas. So there is this link of stigma to, not to the rich, but to the poor and the most vulnerable among us. How do you think we should go about addressing this? I mean, what are some constructive ways to address this kind of stigma and linking it to
I think it's a very important point you're bringing up, Aish, because you know, we are coming from a 5,000-year-old history of caste and putting down the vulnerable.
Yes,
in many ways.
Mm.
So I feel it is built in us generation to generation. If we carry in our psyche, when we see the poorest of the poor, when we see people who cannot really fend for themselves, we target and we project our anger and frustration and fear and something onto them. I feel this is a very, this is the mold on which we are already growing up on, and so we react like that. So it's very important to be aware that I am a person who can do this. Each of us have to remember that each of us have the potential to point fingers. We are coming from the privilege of saying you are responsible.
Yeah.
Because we want, our minds want to find something or somebody
someone else
that is responsible.
And also in this same context, we have seen voices of taking pride in their caste privilege being amplified. No, people are going about saying, "Oh, we've always been doing this. You know, social distancing. We've kept. We told you so." Thereby, you know, justifying their practices of discrimination. And are you saying that? Is that upsetting you at all?
I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
For specific castes where there are communities that has been saying, you should not touch a certain caste, you should keep the money on the floor and they'll come and take the money.
Mm.
You don't touch what they're touching unless you sprinkle some water on it. This is not what we're talking about. The virus is not going to go away. You cannot compare those rituals and those customs to what we're talking about in terms of infection and some contagion.
Yes.
It's a very different thing. So there's no point in saying we've been practicing this for years. While I agree that in India, we are not people who will, when we meet each other, naturally to hug or to handshake. So physical contact, therefore, we fold our hands. That ritual that everybody does, irrespective of which caste you are belonging, to some extent protects us.
Mm.
Okay, from infection to get transmitted.
Yeah.
But if you're saying we practice social distancing, then this person comes, this vegetable seller comes, or this, this person who's selling salt on the street is coming to my house and I want to buy salt and I keep them standing in a particular place and after they go, I sprinkle some water. This is not helping in terms of not carrying an infection or not, you know.
Yeah. And I think
it's a different matter altogether.
I know.
It is putting down a community. It is to say that I am coming from a
privilege,
better caste and a better class.
Yeah.
So we are not talking about that because that doesn't help you.
Yeah.
We need to really look at how infections are stopped.
Yeah, I think so. There will be spillover from this, lockdown experience and this
social distancing. I don't want to use the word social distancing. I've been purposefully using the word physical distancing, because this is exactly why, and WHO also said physical distancing is a better word. It is less discriminating. It is less stigmatizing. So, but in the days to come, we will see how we will reduce our anxiety when we look at people who are going into quarantine, or when we look at people who said they were positive for the COVID infection. So thank you for talking to me, Magdalene. So much to learn from you. And we'll come back again to you. We're going to pick on you again to talk to us in the days to come.
Thank you so much.
That was Magdalene Jayaratnam in conversation with me. In conclusion, it is safe for us to say that stigma and discrimination associated with the coronavirus infection can no doubt be reduced through clear communication. We need to urge our governments to work on more detailed and informed communication strategies to safeguard the interests of people who are in quarantine and of those who are suspected of being in contact. Only then will people come forward for testing and for accessing services. This is a critical component of suppressing the onslaught of the march of the coronavirus infection in India. This is Dr. Aishwarya Rauf signing off, and I will see you in the next podcast with more information. Thanks for listening.